Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis Theoji, whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
Glory to God. Please sit up in heavenly places. We are going to have a little bit of a glory, how do I put it now? A little bit of a glory ride, because we have two chapters to cover today. So I want us to prepare our hearts to cover the chapters that we have today. Now, I would crave our indulgence. Those of us on this side, apart from the choir, those of us on this side, that role, wouldn't you think this would be better for you? Can you see? I like to see some of our student members are not around. Some of them have traveled. So we have, yeah, so just fill up the other seats there. Very good, very good. Very good, very good. Good. So from last week, 2 weeks ago, we started sharing Galatians from 1, chapter 1. We did 1 and 2, then we did 3 last week. So we're going to do 4 and 5 today. Are we here together? Are you ready? 5 is very loaded, but I can't just jump to 5. I have to do 4. So I want you to follow me. 4 is a build up of the argument Paul was having with the people in Galatian church, trying to express to them the need for them to believe in Jesus outside the law. Are we here together? So we emphasize the fact that Paul was trying to explain to them that you do not need circumcision, which is the cutting off of the flesh, that happens to be a Jewish rite in the New Testament. So you don't need it now. Some Jewish people started teaching the people and explaining to them that, no, you just need circumcision. How would you be saved without circumcision? And Paul had gone ahead to the Galatian church and he had taught them so many beautiful things. They had believed in Jesus. They accepted Paul at a point where Paul was very sick. He came as a sick preacher and they did not reject him. They believed his words and everything. And I preached all these things in all your churches. And you now understand that salvation is not by works. Salvation is not by keeping the demands of the law, especially circumcision and other rites. Paul is now saying to them, if you think that circumcision will help you, that means you will keep every other law. Or else you are wrong. So you will not do only circumcision. You will do every other thing. Because the Bible even says that any person that does not continue doing the full things of the law, the person is cursed. So you are cursed. You are doing only a part of it. Are we here together? So these guys will have to make a decision today, you know, based on Paul's arguments, they will have to make a decision. So the Jews who were born like Jesus under the law can now be redeemed and be brought out of the law. Jesus was born under the law. I hope you know that. Did I ask the question, was Jesus a Christian? Why? Somebody answer me. Is Jesus a Christian? Why? Microphone. So Jesus is not a Christian? Is that what you're trying to say? So why are we Christians?
Praise God. So, according to my own understanding of the Bible, Jesus is not a Christian because Christianity is said to be a religion that modeled after Christ. So, Christianity started after Christ had gone. So, I could remember the first set of people that were called Christians were called Christians. So, after Christ,
So the believers in Jesus, they were now called Christians.
Yes, sir.
And that was even after Christ had left.
Yes,
is that not?
Yes, sir.
And why were they called Christians? Because they were behaving. Initially, they were called those of the way. That's what they were calling them. Those of the way. They had found a new way, so they were calling them those of the way. Then when they started seeing that these guys were behaving like this man that already said that he is the way, to make it easy, in Antioch, they now said they are like Christ. Since he is Christ, his name is Jesus Christ, is that not? They are now saying that these people are like Christ. That's why we call them Christ-like. And that's why we are called Christ-like. But Jesus himself was what? A Jew. Are we here together? He was born under the law so that he will deliver those people that are born under the law and even those who had no connection with the law. Because it is Abraham's seed, as I explained to you the other day, Abraham's promised seed that will be a blessing to all the world. And that promised seed must come from Abraham. So that anything that the descendants of Abraham and his generation or whatever they are, that's what that seed will be. And that's what Jesus was, under the law. Are we here together? To deliver those who are under the law and even those people who are not under the law. So we're going to be looking at two classes of people here today in Galatians chapter 4. It will help us. So now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all. That means he's saying, think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until they grow up, even though they actually own everything their father had. Now that means they are children. As long as they are children, they do not have the authority and they cannot carry on the responsibilities of a son. Do you understand what I'm saying? For instance, if a child is 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old, you would not allow that child, as it were, to know everything that he owns. Because if he gets to know everything he owns at a particular stage, those things can actually kill the child. And even if he knows the things that he owns, he cannot take on responsibility. He cannot take on responsibility at that stage. So the apostle is saying here now that when a person is a child, he cannot, is not different from a slave, because slaves do not have inheritance, is that not? But children have inheritance. But because children do not know their inheritance, it's not in their possession, they are just like slaves too. Are you getting what I'm saying now? That's what Paul is trying to say here now. And he's trying to draw a picture that I'm going to paint to us today. So he's saying that it is the same way. No, go back. It's the same way that if a child, if as long as the person remains a child, whatever belongs to you by right will not be given to you. The things you are supposed to do, they will not allow you to do it because you are yet a baby. Are we here together? We can't force little children to do certain things. For instance, I can't tell an 8-year-old or a 7-year-old, even if he's the only surviving son in that family, I cannot tell him to walk his sister down the aisle. Do you understand what I'm saying? So usually in families, you have who's going to walk the girl down the aisle, her father. So if her father is not there, some people will say the first son, is that not? Now, if the first son is 4 years old, would you allow him walk the sister, the firstborn, even if it's the last born? Maybe the man has like 7 daughters. Then this one happens to be the last, and they gave birth to him when they didn't plan to give birth to children again. Then this elder sister is getting married. We would allow that little boy walk the elder sister down the aisle, but we'll go and look for uncles, is that not? The uncle is a guardian. The uncle is somebody who assists to take on the responsibility of that child because the child is not mature and cannot fit into that gap. Do you understand what I'm saying here now? Exactly what Paul is trying to picture. He's saying that before Christ came, we were like children. We had an inheritance, so many things there for us, but we can't handle those things. Even Jesus said to his disciples, there are many things I would love to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will help you understand these things. So Paul is saying now, if you go to the next verse, verse 2, you know what? We're doing a scriptural exposition verse by verse. So just follow me. He said, but it's under guidance and stewards until the time appointed by the father. So the father could appoint that at age 18, please help my child. Or the custom or the tradition could be that at age 25 or 30, then this child can know everything that belongs to him. So the Bible is saying that God decided also that at the fullness of time, he will come and show us our inheritance. And that inheritance is in Christ Jesus, but we'll not get to know it until the fullness of what? Time. And God is a God of dispensations. He was looking at the appropriate time in the history of mankind to do that. Now, this statement of Paul did not come from a vacuum. It didn't come from a vacuum. Paul had an understanding. In those days, the Jewish people usually do what they call adoption of sons. They adopt their son. So this is my child, but while he's a little boy, I will wait for him. When he gets to age 14, I will adopt him. That adoption is he will have right to vote. It was just their custom, like normal. So Paul was speaking from something that was common. Are we getting what I'm saying now? Because it's going to bring us somewhere into adoption, and we can now call God Father. Are we here together? So at age 14, that guy will go through his first phase of what? Adoption to sonship. That way they will say, now you have a right to vote. So at age 14, he'll be excited. He can vote. Then at 25, they will give him another right. That is the right to certain authorities and responsibilities. You will now start doing things. You will now start taking responsibility for certain things. That is the age that Paul was trying to talk about here. This second age of responsibility and authority. That time they will not allow the guardians to do those things for him anymore. They will say, now you have the right to walk your sister down the aisle. Why? You say, you're 25 years old, you're now a man, so try it out. So you will have to exercise his authority and right. But as long as he remains a child, despite the fact he had that right and authority, he will not be given the right to do that. Do we understand? Very good. So now the Bible says, go back to verse 2. It says they have to obey their guardians until they reach whatever age their father sets. So you want to get married, and because there's no other person in the family, they will say, go and meet your uncles. If your dad is there, your dad will call the uncles. If your dad is not there, they will tell the first son, go and visit so-so uncle. And you get what I'm saying? So now, I don't know the cultures and tradition, but I think that the Igbo culture is close to the Jewish culture. I don't know. A little bit. I think they adopted a lot of things. I don't know. But I think they have that. There's a slight similarity in the culture. So that the way they do some things, you can practically see it. I don't know if it's obtainable in many other cultures, but I'm just talking about that, this one that I'm aware of. So they have to obey their guidance until they reach whatever age their father has set. That at this point is when you're able to handle the things that you should have. It is the same way it has happened to us as believers. God allowed the law. The law is like the uncle. The law will show them everything, tell them everything. But you know that uncle can be so strict, you will think he's the father. He'll be making noise in the meeting. No, sit down there. No, 25 to bow of yam. That's how the law was doing to us. And because we were weak, nobody will be able to do anything. Everybody will say, uncle, please now. I said, don't tell me that. If your father were here, I know what he would do. He will not do the same thing. And my father will never do like this. But the uncle will exercise that authority. Are we here together now? And you want to show it. Have you realized that those who inherit property, they are difficult to deal with more than the owners of the property? If the landlord is here, it's easy to say, it's okay, everything. But if somebody inherits property, no, don't tell me that. My father, I know what I'm saying. Calm down. He said, no, don't tell me. Do you know what I did to get to this place? What did you do? Nothing. That's why it can be a very terrible situation. So what Paul is saying here is that the law that was brought by Moses, it cannot nullify what God has said to Abraham 430 years before, that his seed, because Abraham was justified by faith, but now God had to wait. And he said, okay, let's introduce the law so that the law will show them some things as a schoolmaster, as a guide, as a guardian, until the dispensation of grace will come. So that's what the law was doing to the children of Israel. They had different laws showing them. Now that the child is of age and can handle things by himself, does he still need the law again? That's what he's saying. No. He does not need the guardian again. He does not need one. He has to be led by himself now. But in the New Testament, we are no longer being led by the law, and we are no longer being led by ourselves. We are now led by the Spirit. And what Spirit? The Spirit of our Father that he has invested inside of us. The Spirit of adoption, whereby we can now declare, Father, Father. Is it making sense to you? I'm going somewhere, so I just want to lay foundation. So let's move now. And that's the way it is with us. Before Christ came, we were like children. We were slaves to the basic spiritual principles of this world. Go ahead now. But when the right time came, that time where the child is of age. God has seen the Jewish system. He has seen the Roman Empire. And it was just at the right time that God decided to strike. If he had done it at any other time, it would not be the fullness of time. And you know the Bible says he makes all things beautiful in his time. So God knew the time that Jesus would have to come. God knew the exact date that he must be born. And God planned it exactly like that. And if you check in scripture very well, you discover that Jesus was 33 and a half years before he left. And the day that Jesus Christ, the day of Pentecost, even the day that Jesus Christ died, that particular day had a major significance in the Jewish religion. Then the day of Pentecost also had a major significance in the Jewish religion, where everybody all over the world will gather. That day God chose it, that is the day his spirit will come. And his sons and daughters will be speaking the language of everybody all over the world. And those people will gather there and they will hear that language. He had to do everything. He had to follow it just like that. Ensuring that, showing us that he is the God who manages everything around the face of the earth. Are we here together? Very good. He said, but when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. So God sent Jesus Christ, and the assignment of Jesus Christ was to buy what? Freedom. Because we were under the law. And whatever we're doing under the law was bondage. It was difficult. It was hard. They could not keep the law. They were struggling. So God sent Jesus Christ so that what he came to do was to give us freedom. Are we here together now? So today in Christ Jesus, I have freedom. You sing songs. You say, I'm free indeed. No chains are holding me. It's who I choose to be. You sing many songs that have to do with freedom. The reason you're singing that is because you understand that when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary and he was raised back to life, he purchased for us freedom from sin, freedom from shame, freedom from the law, so that now we are no longer held by the elementary principles. Now listen, the Jewish people were held by the elementary principles of the law, while the Gentiles were held by the elementary principles of their gods. Are you getting what I'm saying now? The Jewish people had a law that they had to obey. So that law was what held them bound. The burden that the law put on them was so hard. They were finding it difficult. The Gentiles also had something holding them. The burden of the gods they were serving was so much on them too. So both the Jews and the Gentiles needed what? Freedom. And the only way for the Jews and the Gentiles to get freedom was for God to create a middle wall of partition by the blood of Jesus Christ, so that he would drag the Jews from here and drag the Gentiles out of their gods and establish them in a new principle called the principle of Christ. Is it making any sense to you? So that it is now, the problem here for them is that the Gentiles, since they were the ones that brought everything, some of the teachers were now coming to tell these Gentiles coming here, the Jews rather, they were now coming to tell the Gentiles that were coming into this Christ that before you enter this Christ, you will first of all go here and observe the law. And do the things that the law demand. Then you will now come back here. Then Paul said, no. The last time I checked, he's supposed to be at the middle. The last time I checked, if you are coming as a Jew, you meet him here. If you are coming as a Gentile, you meet him here. I'm a Gentile. I don't have to move from here down to the law and come back. That's a long journey. Is it making sense? What I'm saying, is it making sense to you? That's a long journey. You don't expect me to go and do circumcision and observe the laws of Moses and do everything before I come back to Christ. He said, no. To anybody that believes, all you need is faith. If you are coming from here, you need faith. If you are coming from here, you need faith. And Jesus Christ is the end of the law. Whether the law of the Gentiles or the law of the gods you are serving, to everybody who does what? Believe. So if I believe in Jesus Christ, the gods of my father's house have no rule over me. They cannot tell me to come and do a ritual in my father's house. They cannot tell me that you have to do this thing or do that thing and I agree with it. No, because I have Christ now. Do you understand what I'm saying now? And if I believe in Jesus Christ as a Jewish person, you don't have to tell me that I have to observe the things that the Jews usually observe too before I can find my way to Christ. No, what do I need? Faith in Jesus will suffice. That's why the songwriter wrote the song and it says, in Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This stone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. So you see, Christ is the solid rock on which we stand. There's a problem with what they wanted the Jewish people to do and the Gentiles to do. If the Gentiles continue to obey what they wanted them to obey, Christ will not be formed in them. So they will go back to these rules and everything. And Paul is saying, no, I have a goal. I want you guys to know him and the power of his resurrection. I want you to know him personally and have an encounter with him. If you go to that place, you are going to the place where I am coming from and I'm running away from. And I've told them that I'm running away from this thing because it's not helping us. What have I been preaching then? If I am preaching the circumcision, I'm preaching the law, then Christ is useless. And Christ cannot have died for us in vain. So I'm not preaching circumcision. I'm not preaching the law. I'm preaching faith in Christ alone. And those of you coming from this place, I don't want you to go back to your idols anymore. Don't go back to the gods of your family. Just come by faith in Christ alone. This is the middle point where we meet. Making any sense to anybody? Are you sure you're getting this gist tonight? Very good. So we see the reading. What was wrong? Help me with mine. You can also, we won't want to delay, just try and get it up on time. Please get your Bibles. Galatians chapter 4, we're in verse 5. I don't want us to delay. We have two chapters to cover tonight, so we have to do it. Galatians chapter 4, we're in verse 5. It said, go to verse 4. Go back to verse 4 and let's read 4 into 5. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, under the law. To redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as what? Sons. So the intention is that God wants us to receive adoption as what? Sons. We are no longer slaves. Remember, many of the religions of the world, they have gods, or the founders of religions, cannot in any way. Have you noticed that there's no religion in the world that agrees that they are sons, children of their God? Rather, they agree that they are slaves. They are subjects, lower subjects. It's only in Christianity that God calls for relationship. It's only in Christianity that he said, no, I want you to be my sons. I want you to understand that I love you. I want you to understand that I want to have relationship with you. And you will see how Paul begins to dish these things out as we begin to read further. He said, God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he can adopt us as his own very children. And because we are his children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts. Can you see that now? Because we are his children, children must have the spirit of their father. Is that not? So God decided to send the spirit of his son into our heart. And the spirit of his son that he's talking about near now is also the Holy Spirit. Are we here together? So the Holy Spirit is in our heart and is the one that bears witness with our spirit that we are what? The sons of God. So when you get born again, somebody asks you, how do you know you are born again? Because the word of God says, if I confess in my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and I believe in my heart, I am saved. That's number one. They say, that's not enough. How do you know? There's a spirit inside of me that bears witness. You can't beat that one. Are you inside of me? Are you my spirit? Why should you argue my spirit with me? Argue your own. The spirit of God bears witness with my spirit and I'm a child of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? And God did that as a seal. He put the Holy Spirit inside of you, what? As a seal to say, I have endorsed you. You are my son. That's what God has done. And that's the reason why he said, the Holy Spirit will neither leave us nor forsake us. Because we are now sons of God. But the ladies want to say we are daughters of God. No, just say sons. We are all sons. Amen. We are all what? Sons. Because sonship is not gender bias. In Christ Jesus, it's not a gender thing. It is the fact that we are sons of God. Now are we the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be like. He said, but when he appears, we will look like our father. Are you getting the gist here? It does not yet appear. That means when people look at us, they are still arguing it. They are still looking and saying, you, we know you. No, they will not know us according to the flesh. Because when he appears, they will look at him and they will look at us. And they say they look the same. They will look at him and they will look at us. Why? Because our mortality would have been putting on immortality. And we have been shifted from this likeness and we're putting on a celestial frame. We will look just like our father. Is anybody getting what I'm sharing tonight? Does it make any sense to you tonight? And that's why you must embrace this reality. That's why you must not listen to anything that is away from this. And that's why Paul was fighting very hard to put this into the heart of the Galatian Christians. He wanted them to understand it, that if they can understand this thing, everything is done. Then he will continue with a lot of arguments, trying to prove these things to them and show them very well that you guys just have to believe this. Why? False teachings can be very disastrous. Somebody can embrace something today. I've been there where I've thought some people said in things, and after I was done teaching them for a while, they moved to another environment and somebody started bringing some false talks to them, and they will ask me for the first time and say, sir, that this thing, you know, I heard, so I'll say, listen, don't listen to that. Look at the right thing. Go back to the word of God. Have you seen it? Then the person is somehow close and the person begins to lay more emphasis. Before you know it, sometimes some of them will pull off and they will say, pastor, I say, go and keep listening to the messages I preach. Leave those rubbish. Then another person will choose that thing and begin to stay. So Paul was really fighting hard to ensure that his labor over the Galatian Christians will not be a waste, because he had labored a lot. Are we here together? He had done so much of labor on them. So look at what the Bible says. And because we are his children, God has sent the spirit of children of... No, go back. God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call what? Abba Father. You know what Abba Father here is? Abba Father is an informal way of gisting with your dad. It's like saying, daddy. Do you get that gist? It's an informal expression. It is not a formal expression like saying, Father, strong one. No. It's an informal expression. When you call somebody's name twice, the word Abba is Father. Do you understand what I'm saying now? So it's just like looking at your daddy and your daddy saying something. You look at him, daddy. It's trying to bring us to a closeness. To see that we have a relationship with our father that is closely knitted. Are we here together? Do you understand what I'm saying today? Very good. He now says, because we are his children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out what? Abba Father. Now you are no longer slaves, but God's own child. Now you are no longer slaves. I'm not a slave to sin. I'm not a slave to fear. I'm not a slave to the elements of this world. I am not under any obligation to go back to my father's house and obey the rubbish they serve there. I am not under, no devil from that place can show up in my dream and compel me to follow them. I am now a prisoner of Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying? So by the time they begin to bring up all these rituals and they say, when we'll do, we'll go to the village, there's a particular place, we'll have to pour this on your head, we'll have to do this on you. Don't mind all these things. They say, you can do both of them together. It's a lie. Christ plus nothing. His cross is already a plus. You can see it, and he is the plus by himself. Any other thing cannot be added to him. Are you getting what I'm saying here, church? Because in the age that we are in right now, one of the things that the devil will succeed to do is he will try to magnify a lot of things that have to do with traditional worship, African traditional worship. Because we are Africans. Then for the Western people, the stronghold that they're going to be struggling with will not be African traditional worship. They'll be struggling with secular humanism. Unfortunately, a lot of believers don't even know the things that are happening around town. How many of us have seen how much certain people are fighting hard to restore traditional worship? Huh? You think it's just ordinary? It's never ordinary. It is part of the plan of the devil in the end time. And this is the goal. The goal is this. If we are able, in Africa, if we are able to exalt traditional worship, will be dragging them back to their idolatrous foundation. So they will now come to a point where they will say, see, you can actually do both. This one does not stop the other. The problem is not that. For now, the fight is that this thing exists. So when people begin to embrace it, they'll now say, hey, that's what we're saying. It exists. But you see, it doesn't mean you cannot go and do this other thing you are doing. No, you can do both. And we will now get back to the same fight that Paul is fighting here. To tell the Gentile believers, don't eat food sacrificed to idols. Don't do it. He said, in fact, those things your fathers call idols, actually, they are not gods. They are not real gods. Are you getting what I'm saying here right now? That's where it looks like. Then, on the other hand, the Westerners are going towards the direction of secular humanism. That is the point where they say the word of the Bible is not the authentic word of God, and every human being has a conscience and is a God in himself and can decide whatever he wants by himself, and there's no restriction. There's no rule to stop anybody from desiring. So I can decide to be a male, I can decide to be a female, I can decide to be a goat, I can decide to marry a rat, I can decide to be a monkey. It's not your business. And that will be taught in schools so that children growing up in schools do not understand what their gender is. And some of them will be told that they cannot decide their gender until they are of age. So you don't call him a boy, you call him a girl. You don't call her a girl, rather, you don't call him a boy. So the child grows up and he says, I have decided that I want to be a she. I have decided I want to be he. Or a sheep. Or a she him. How many of us are really current with things happening around the world? You need to be current with things happening around the world. You need to be looking around and seeing what is happening everywhere. And this is part of the things that the devil is doing in this end time. If you send your child to school abroad now, you're not sure what it's going to come back like. You're not sure. And that's why the word of God said, train up a child in the way that he should go. A child was sent to school in Europe. And when the child got to school in Europe, they came from Nigeria. And when they got to school in Europe, somehow the teacher now told the child and was explaining to the child that, you see, I think the child understands prayer, things about prayer, things about God, you know, the commandments. Little child, quite young, and understands all these things. So they were talking about creation. So the pharaoh said that the universe came out of a big bang. And the girl said, no. Daddy said that God created. He said, no. He said, God created argument. The little child refused, got angry that she will not eat. Now, you don't know that in actual sense, they are supposed to charge that teacher who is putting pressure on the child to accept something he's not supposed to accept. So you're supposed to lead that child to whatever the child believes. And if we have trained the children very well, they will choose the report of God. And their classmates will be wondering why, but something has entered into their hearts. And they know that this is the truth. And we are not just telling them that God created the world and just looking around town. We will now sit down as intelligent and intellectual parents and show them from scriptures. Help them understand that all scriptures are inspired by God. They will ask you, what is inspiration? You will explain to them. How did the Bible come about? How do I believe? Because that's what they'll be countering from their school. And that's why we have to go back to an age of intellectualism where we can open up our minds and share the simple truth. You see, many things that people consider as problems today are running up and down. You have to calm down. And before, part of the criteria of marriage in church will be serious discipleship. Nobody will force you. You will want it. Because you will not be able to train the next generation. Especially if you want to train them in the way of God. The question will be, what do you have? You can't give what you don't have. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here? Because when they get to their classes, they have certain things somebody's telling them already. When they get to their homes, they have another thing somebody's telling them already. And I was just discussing with them when we were preparing the children's church, whatever. And I told my wife, I said, go back to the drawing board and redraft a curriculum for the children's church. I want to know what they will look like at age 6 and what's in their head. At age 10, what should be in their head? At age 12, what should be in their head? There are certain body of truth that child must know so that when you step into the scene, we're not training for now. Forget it. There's a clear vision. There's a place where we're going to. And you will come to a point where you are telling a child that is 10 and the child will say no. You'll be arguing with the child and the child will stand with you confidently. If care is not taken, the child will burst in tongues and lay hands on you. You'll be wondering, that, what's that? You'll say, I know what I believe. I know what I believe. This is how Daniel was trained in Babylon. And the Bible says when they were taking them as slaves, he proposed in his heart. He said, no matter what they do in Babylon, I propose that I will not defy myself with the portion of the king's meat. So when they got there and they had nice delicacies and table and they brought those things, and Daniel said to them, as a Jewish child, we don't eat this thing. Take it off my table. We don't eat this. Take it off my table. They were wondering, this is what everybody is eating. He said, I don't take it. Why? He said, I am a Jew. I have a relationship with my God and I understand the culture and the tradition of our people. They even insisted that, see, look, he said, come, let me show you. You guys don't have enough sense. Come. He said, you know, let's do this 10 days test. Give these guys what they are eating and give us a different meal. Come and watch us in 10 days. I guarantee you will be better than these guys. And he did not say that thing and just walk away. I believe he must have said it and say, God, show yourself strong. Yahweh, show yourself strong. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here now? He must have said something out of a place of conviction. And guess what? On the 10th day, he showed up and he said, come and assess us. And they looked at the skin. They looked at the skin. They checked Shadrach. They checked Meshach. They checked Abednego. Guys, your eyes are looking so bright. They checked their eye. Wow, blood is showing that you have blood. You're looking fresh. Then they checked the other guys that have been eating all manner of rubbish. They say, guys, these guys are looking like people that have been smoking in the booth for 30 years. And guess what the eunuch did? He said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, eat what you have decided to eat. I am sure that the king will not kill me the way I'm seeing you guys. And from that day, their stand was taken. The generation that will stand its ground is the generation that will have proofs and evidence. Not a generation that starts just talking trash. I was doing a little bit of some things. I was looking around the other day and I saw one of David's mighty men. He didn't even fall into the three of David's mighty men. The name of the guy is called Benaiah. Benaiah happens to be the guy of David's mighty men that went into a pit in a snowy day and killed a whole lion. Listen, I want you to get what I'm trying to picture. Benaiah entered a pit in a snowy day. That means the snow was heavy. Normally, you're supposed to be shivering. You can't do anything. And he saw a lion and he killed the lion. Benaiah was the same guy that confronted an Egyptian giant that was holding a spear like a weaver's beam, talking about the weight of the spear and how massive it was. And this guy happens to be a giant. And Benaiah was just an ordinary, I don't think Benaiah was bigger than myself. From the description, he was not a giant. He was just an ordinary guy with a simple frame. And guess what Benaiah was holding? He was holding a walking stick, a staff. And when Benaiah held the staff, he faced the Egyptian with a weaver's beam. And he did not fight the guy ordinarily. With the size of the guy, Benaiah went after his weaver's beam, collected it from him, and used it to kill the giant. You wonder at how these guys did these things. But wait, read through the lines of their mentor David. By my God, I will leap over a wall. By my God, I will run through a troop. There was an understanding that David had planted into these guys that made them that wild. They were not extraordinary human beings. They were ordinary human beings that understood the power of an extraordinary God. And that is what we must be doing in this season. So when you read the book of Psalms, you'll be asking yourself, how did this guy get this courage? What? No! They had followed a man that had instilled something in them. David would have told them, you think I faced Goliath ordinarily? No, I killed a bear before. And he must have promised them, if I kill a bear, you will kill something bigger. If I do, he must have said things to them. So when these guys went to fight in battle, they did exploits. What exploits will we explain to our children if we have not done anything? The training that those men had, that, and the Bible says, after describing Benaiah, he said, and this guy is not even part of the first three of David's men. And when I'm asking myself, what would the three look like? What would the three look like? What would the three look like? Four guys were supposed to fetch water for David, and they told them that, wait, let me explain. It's just like saying that they told four guys that there is a water at the middle of the well, at the middle of the town, and that water is the water that David had fought before, so he had drank from that well, and he felt like, you know, when a woman is pregnant, she chooses whatever she wants. So David said, that water at the middle, that's what I desire to drink. And the guy said, is that what you want to drink? They said, yes. And just imagine an army, a city that is fenced with military people everywhere, and they have a whole, just imagine saying somebody is entering the barracks where you have all military people prepared, not the ones that have gone to fight outside. They are there and they are with their guns alert. Then four guys entered with just ordinary hand, and they said to themselves, we're going to get water from that well. And I can imagine one look at the other one and say, guy, how far? And they look at themselves. They must have smiled. And when they are walking, they will not be walking anyhow. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. They entered that camp. And when they got there, they destroyed all these guys. Entered there, fetched their water. And they will turn back. I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It was an understanding David had instilled. David had taught them so much. So by the time David was growing in age, he had already replicated himself. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here today? We will not lose a generation in the name of Jesus. Let's get back to freedom in Christ. Where are we? How did we get here? Glory to God. You are no longer a slave. Okay, verse 7. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. Yes. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You know what that means? Heir is somebody that has a right to share from the property of another person. Are we here together now? So we are heir of God through Christ. In other words, through Christ Jesus, we now have what it takes to share of the inheritance of the Father. Through Christ Jesus, because we have connected with him. That middle point called Christ Jesus, not from the law. No, the law will not give you inheritance. He said coming into Christ, whether you are a Gentile or you are a Jew, if you come into this place, that's when you have the right. Because these guys will always make noise. We are Abraham's children, so we have the inheritance. It's a lie. Jesus told them, he said, that's not how you will get this inheritance. This thing will come by faith. God will give us a level playing ground. So the Jews cannot make a noise about it. The Gentiles cannot also brag about their gods and whatever. All of you must come where? In Christ. I know why I'm emphasizing in Christ, because time will come where they will begin to show all manner of options and they will say, take this one, try, take that, try. He said, no. Christ is my everything. In him I live, I move, I have my being. He's my sufficiency. He's my light. If he cannot do it, it cannot be done. That's the answer. Because many options will come out now in the last days. There will be multiple options. There will be multiple suggestions. How about trying that? How about trying this? How about going to that? And you say no. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. In sorrow, he's my comfort. In troubles, he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. And he's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Christ is everything. In him we have freedom. In him we have deliverance. In him we have light. In him we have hope. Are you getting what I'm saying, church? Don't allow anybody suggest anything else to you. Don't allow any devil bring any other suggestion to you. Some of you will travel out of this nation and you will go to countries where you see a lot of things. And like some of our people who are in different nations of the world, and oh, pastor, this place is very, I say, yes, it's like that. But remember, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a peculiar person. You are different from those people. You must understand it. There are many people there serving God. You will not be an exemption. Are you getting what I'm sharing tonight? He said, now, therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God. Since you are his children, God has made you heir. He said, before you Gentiles, now go, continue. He said, before you Gentiles knew God, you were slaves to the so-called gods that do not even exist. Before, he was telling them, he said, this guy, I preach to you guys, you are now born again. He said, but before you got to know Jesus Christ, you were slaves to these things that you call gods. But actually, they don't exist. That is what somebody is trying to revive in African traditional religion and telling us that the Bibles that they brought for us, that is just white men that wrote it. Oh, white men wrote this. White men wrote that. So white men gathered within a space of 1,600 years. 40 people, 40 different dispensations and ages. They gathered and they codified something, and we can trace Christ in all of them. Are you getting what I'm saying? Does it make any sense to you? Because many things will come. TikTok, you see plenty of things. Facebook, you see plenty of things. And they are growing their Facebook pages. Actively growing it. That's what they are trying to do. It's business. And that's why it's not every content creator that you think is doing something for the sake of passing knowledge. For some people, it's just business. Because that's a way of living right now. It's somebody can make... Oh, how do I put it now? Somebody can make a career out of destroying another person. Do you understand? Somebody can decide that I'll pick an influential person now. My career is to grow this page to 200,000 followers, and I will have multiple views. Money will be entering my account in dollars, but I will pull this man down. And it will sell because people like news. You know, many of the times we just click on things. But I've always told you that every time you click, you are helping somebody. So you need to know the people you are helping. You need to know those you are supporting, those you are donating your money to. The other day I told some people, I said, if you, every time you attend, you go to a pornographic site, you are contributing money, you are paying tithes and offerings. You're giving somebody money. Because those sites have more traffic and traction than many sites that are full of intellectual stuffs that people should read. So every time, maybe that would be your motivation to know that I can never. Because every time you say, I know who is on the lost side, I am on the lost side. No, let's know the side where you are. Because the last time we checked, you spent like 2 hours, 30 minutes meditating day and night. Like a tree planted by the desert of no waters. You will never be like that. Everyone is coming out of nonsense, rising in Christ, fulfilling your prophetic destiny in the name of Jesus. He said, before you Gentiles knew God, you were slaves to the so-called gods that did not even exist. Let's go ahead because of time. I want to read. So now that you know God, number one thing, he said, now that you do what? Know God. He now said, or should I say, now that God knows you. In other words, he's printing two things. That you know God. I also want you to be aware that God now knows you. He said, why do you want to go back again and become slaves once more to the weak and useless spiritual principles of this world? Why do you want to go back again? Some of you are wondering, why is Pastor emphasizing? Why? God laid in my heart to teach Galatians this season. Because I am very convinced about the things that I am beginning to see around town. That Satan is on a very active fight. If there are certain people that will rise up in your father's house to raise up the altars that are dead, and they will compel that they are serving for on your behalf, that everybody has to come and make sure that you pay homage. We have decided to do something about these gods who took away our gods. Gods that they can take in pockets. Are we here together? This would not have been something we shouldn't have been teaching things like this. We should have been going to higher things of Christ. But because of the age that we are in now, we have to come back a little bit and get a lot of people to join us. Because the devil is actively doing so much overtime, and he's using certain people that will arise. And they will listen, and the people that will arise, they are not going to be daft people. They will be well researched in history, well researched in a lot of things. But there will be no correlation between the things that they are saying and what scripture says. And the reason why we will not believe what they are saying as against what scripture says is because the Bible already explains. If you go and read my message about the God of the Bible, I have explained practically solid things about the existence of God and the proof that the scriptures is what? The word of God. Are we here together? So you can go back and say, I have seen this, I have found this, I have read this, I have better understanding, and I refuse to be deceived. No one will be deceived. Are you with me in this service, or you're pressing your phone? Let's be here together. He says, so now that you know God, why do you want to go back again to some of those things? Useless spiritual principles. What do they call them? Useless spiritual principles. Another way he puts it, he said, they are weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage. Wow. Let's go ahead. Verse 10, for time's sake. He said, you are trying to earn favor with God by observing certain days or months or seasons or years. Is that how you want to earn favor with God? Because they have certain days or months or seasons that they always observe in all this religion. Just like the Jewish people had their own, is that not? The same way the Gentiles had pagan worship. The Gentiles had different, in fact, some of the Christian celebrations today, they were coined when the Christian church became, when Christianity became the official religion of the Roman Empire, they had a lot of other gods they were serving. And these people that were serving this god, they had special days that they served these gods. So what they did was that the Christians in that dispensation decided that instead of serving the gods they used to serve in those days, we Christians should do something as it relates to our own day. Do you understand what I'm saying now? So even the celebration of Easter, if you look at Easter critically, there is the Greek god of fertility that he served that period. But the Christians were creative enough to say that if this is what these guys will serve this period and it falls into our own time, let's also do our major celebration. And the name of the god is Easter, Ishtar. Then they decided to call Christian our words Easter. But we know that Easter celebration that we're doing right now, it was picked with the fact that these guys are celebrating this thing, we will not celebrate that thing. The name sounds similar, but what we are doing in Easter is the commemoration of the resurrection of who? Jesus Christ. Somebody shows up and he says that there is nothing like Christmas. Christmas is a pagan religion, blah, 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 blah. Then we say, oh, we understand what you're trying to say. The exact day that Jesus was born is not the exact day that we're celebrating Christmas. But we have chosen to celebrate Christmas because we agreed that Jesus was born. True or false? True. Very good. If Jesus was born, there are many times to celebrate your birthday off the particular day of your birthday. Is that not? That's exactly what we do with Christmas. Whether it is September 29th or October 31st, the most important thing that Jesus Christ was what? Born. Then we choose a particular day. That day, we're going to talk about him. We're going to do everything. Then they try to fight it by saying it's not Christmas. It is holidays. So they say happy holidays. Yeltude. Any tude you are calling it. Shamokwe is Christmas. Then they now come and they say, let's introduce something. Santa Claus. Brothers and sisters, Santa or no Santa, all we know is that Jesus is the Christ. Whether they wear red or they wear purple or they wear anything, all I know is that Jesus is the Christ. And Jesus is not Santa Claus. Because the pagans had things they were doing in that season. So Christianity came in and we imposed ours on it. Now they are rising again to say that this is the real thing. We are saying whether you have your real thing or not, we know our own. That Jesus is the reason for the season, not Santa Claus. Does it make any sense to you? Because very soon, Christmas now, they start saying, all you people are celebrating Christmas. You don't know where is Christmas in the Bible. You know, there are some questions people ask. You just look at them like this. It doesn't have to be there. The most important thing is that the birth of Jesus is in the Bible. True or false? Exactly. Exactly. So he's saying to them, you observe days and months and seasons and years. You don't have to do all those things. And if you want to do any of those things, ensure you're not attaching it to any religion or any God, then go ahead right now. He says, I fear for you. Perhaps all my hard work with you was for nothing. In other words, Paul is saying, I have labored over you guys. I've spent time teaching you. And you guys believed everything. Then he started explaining the pain, the agony, the season that he came to them. It was not convenient for me. That's what I was trying to tell them. That at the time I came preaching to you guys, it was not convenient for me. It was difficult, but I had to show up. And I showed up because I knew that God has called me, had called me at that time to start preaching these things to you guys. So let's move on with time. Because of time, I want to really rush through this. He said, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to live as I do in freedom from these things. Paul is saying, me, I am free. I'm not following the things the Jews are saying, oh, and all those are things. I'm not following again. And you Gentiles, I am pleading with you to live with me in what? Freedom. For I have become like you Gentiles. Remember when Paul said, I became all things to all men. In other words, when I enter a particular place, I flow with you guys so that you can understand, so that I will win you guys. And now Paul had won them over. Now these Jewish Christians who were observing the law and believing in circumcision, they were still coming again to get the attention of these guys. And Paul said, no, that should not happen. I plead with you. Free from those laws, you do not mistreat me. You did not mistreat me when I came first to preach to you guys. Go ahead now. We're going to read fast on this one. Surely, you remember that I was sick when I first brought you the good news. But even though my... Now, let me emphasize that Paul was sick when he first brought the good news. You must understand that Paul was first a human being. Do we understand that right now? Paul is first a human being. And when people are sick, it is not because God is imposing a punishment on them or anything. Sometimes the carelessness can lead us to sickness. Our carelessness can lead us to sickness. These are some of the questions we also want to answer. When people say, I'm a Christian, Christ asks me, why am I still sick? Many of the times it could be your carelessness that leads to sickness. You probably have eaten the wrong thing. The last time we checked, you had a very long nail and you went to the toilet and you did like this and later you put your thing in your mouth. That's typhoid. Typhi. You're going to get some typhi. Typhoid simply means oralacy. You know what that means? Did you hear what I just said? You didn't hear it? Oh my God. You missed something important. Have you heard of that joke that two people saw excreta on the floor? Like poo, you know? And this one said, it is poo. He said, it's not poo. It's poo. It's not poo. And I said, how do we know if it's poo or not? He said, I said it. That's what happens when people have typhoid. May God help us in Jesus' name. Are we still here together? Yes, so, but even though my condition tempted you to reject me, in other words, Paul said that because I came as someone who was sick, it's possible you'd have wanted to reject me. So when you see somebody who's sick and they say the person is a man of God, it doesn't make him less a man of God because he's sick. Sometimes the sickness can be a result of his own carelessness towards his health. If I go overstressed and I am stretched and I am shouting at the top of my voice, after some days my voice will go weak, true or false? Is it God punishing me? Is it not the gospel I'm still preaching? But does God want me to care for myself? Yes. After that kind of season, what am I supposed to do? Rest. If you don't rest now, you will rest in peace. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So you need to get this. Paul said something here that I'm just speaking to show you, that a Christian is sick doesn't mean that God is against the Christian. But we will pray for healing, and he said the prayer of faith shall heal the sick and will raise him up. Do we understand? I don't understand what you guys are doing this evening. Please focus. Jesus is the chosen Lord. Amen. But I don't know what you're doing. Please focus here. Let's get this message going. But even though my condition tempted you to reject me, you did not despise me or turn me away. No, you took me in and cared for me as though I were an angel from God, or even Christ, the chosen one, Jesus himself. Where is that joyful and grateful spirit you felt then? In other words, Paul is saying that these guys are trying to convince you. Now all the joy that we shared and everything, you are now trying to just move everything off. Look at the way you guys treated me. Look at the labor I had. Look at the things that I did. Are you going to let all those things go to trash? And he's saying no. He said, I am sure you would have taken your own eyes and given them to me if it had been possible. Again, Paul is emphasizing the level at which the church, the Galatian church, cared for him. They gave him utmost care and attention. And I must say that one of the things we must learn to do in church is to care for those who teach us the word of God. Anybody wakes up anywhere and say, oh, those pastors, they do this, they do that. Pastors, don't listen to trash. If the person is not blessing you, don't do anything. If the person is blessing you, you must be a blessing to the person. Does it make any sense to you? If you are not blessed, you just stay where you are. But if you are blessed, it is natural for you to know that if you are blessed, you return that. Are you getting what I'm saying here now? Paul even said, he said, if we bless you with spiritual things, is it wrong if you bless us with some carnal things? That's what he said. So when I'm bringing all the arguments you can pick from everywhere around the world, that's what's flying everywhere. So you must be able to bring these things and understand that some people are just blind. They are just carried away. Sometimes Satan has sponsored their, paid their transport fare to the internet. And I don't know why their camera doesn't get bad. Where is that joyful and grateful spirit you felt then? I am sure you would have taken out your own eyes and given them to me if it had been possible. Let's go on now. He said, now, have I now become your enemy because I'm telling you the truth? Have I become your enemy because I'm telling the truth? Is it wrong to tell you guys the truth? That's what Paul is saying. I'm telling you the truth. Don't go back to circumcision. I'm telling you the truth. Don't serve the gods of your father's house. I'm telling you the truth. Christ is the center of everything. Am I now your enemy because I have decided to tell you the truth? It's just like pastor preaching in the church and somebody say, ah, I like that man of God. I like that Pastor Mavis. I like that. And maybe you are having issues with cohabitation and I preach it that day. You now got angry at me. Am I now an enemy because I tell you the truth? I like our pastor, but take away the buts and let's move on. And let's do the right things. Because at the end of the day, we must focus on the right things. Oh, I like that. The day I just decided I preach and I talk about adultery, then the man carried his bag and he said, I'm not coming. I know they go to church again. Ha, where is the love? Where is the care? What you told your friends the other day, that I like that man of God. Ah, now that church are they going to. What happened to all that? Am I now an enemy because I tell you the truth? Those false teachers are so eager to win your favor, but their intentions are not good. That's what's happening on social media. The intentions are not good. They are growing a social media page. That's why they are saying many things. And that's why you have to be careful. Are you getting what I'm saying here today? Yes. He said, but their intentions are not good. They are trying to shut you off. To shut you off from me. So that you will pay attention only to them. So these guys were trying to get the attention of this spirit from Paul. And Paul felt so pained because he had labored so much on them. He had labored so much on them. Let's go ahead. There are a lot of things to show us here. For time's sake, I would have done. There are different levels of what do you call it now? There are different levels of verse by verse Bible study. There is the deep, deep Bible study. There is the deep. There is the semi, and there is the surface. So, but I don't know which one I'm doing now. But I'm just trying to move for time's sake. If someone is eager to do good things for you, that's all right. But let them do it all the time, not just when I am with you. Good. Oh, my dear children. Now, this is it. See how Paul addressed them. Paul had changed his tone. He's no longer looking at them just as the church. He's now letting them understand that, listen, I am your spiritual father. That's what Paul is trying to establish here. Get it right. Oh, my dear children, I feel as if I am going through labor pains for you again. And they will continue until Christ is fully developed in your lives. Now, let me help you understand who a spiritual father is so that you can understand. In spiritual fatherhood, you want to get to know first who introduced you to Christ. That person qualifies to be a spiritual father. But where the person who introduced you to Christ ceases to nurture you, for whatever reason, the person doesn't appear in your life as the person who now feeds you. You know that whether you like it or not, a child might be born by somebody, but whoever raised the child is also a father to that child. Are you getting what I'm saying here now? So the person, that child now sees this person as father because he's taking on the responsibility of a father. Though he's not the biological father, but the biological father is not there. And if they ask this child now, who will do this for you? Who will do that for you? The only person they can point to is this person. This is my father. I don't know where to go to again. I don't know what to say again. That's my father. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here now? So in spiritual fatherhood, number one, you must understand either the person that brought you to Christ and is nurturing you, or where the person who brought you to Christ is not there to nurture you, and somebody now expounds the truth to you, and you become a student of that person, and you are learning actively on a regular basis like this in a church setting, that person takes on the position of what? A spiritual father. Why? Because the work of a father is to teach, is to nurture, is to groom, is to grow. And that's what Paul is trying to say here, that these guys are coming to you, but they are not your fathers. No. I know what I have done. And to show that I am your father, I'm writing a letter to reinforce this thing. I'm still feeding you. So he told them, he said, read this letter to all the churches in Galatia so that they will know that I have not deserted them. I am still taking my position as a father. And guess what? He emphasizes. He said, I will continue to pray for you, so I'm still your father. Until Christ be what? Formed in you. In other words, that you are born again doesn't mean that Christ is formed in you. Do you understand what I'm saying today? That you're born again doesn't mean that Christ is what? Formed in you. Now let me broadcast this a little bit and I go back. A spiritual father is different from a father in the Lord. The father in the Lord are fathers of faith that we believe in. They are in different countries of the world. Some of them are in other countries and they are fathers in the Lord to us because we believe them. We don't have contact with them in any direct way. Maybe just from books and all that. They are fathers in the Lord. Then you also refer to them as fathers of faith. They are distant, but whoever feeds you, whoever nurtures you, whoever prays for you directly, whoever grooms you is the person who is referred to as what? Spiritual father. Because fatherhood is responsibility, and the responsibility of waking up to feed you, to teach you, to pray with you, to pray for you, that's what qualifies a person. Not the person who does not know whether you exist again or not. And somebody might be distant and still keep a solid relationship with the spiritual father, especially in an age like this. I know these teachings. I'm not around where this person is, but every time I listen to this voice, deep calls unto deep. Do you understand what I'm saying here? It's an understanding that you must have, especially in this age where everybody sees somebody online and say, that person has to be my spiritual father now. No. The question is, what is the connection you have with that person? Your spiritual father doesn't have to be popular. But if he has begotten you in the faith or feeds you with the word of God, qualifies to be a spiritual father. Am I communicating? Yes. So Paul said, I will continue to pray for you until Christ be what? Formed in you. Now, how would that even happen? Christ has to be formed in you. Christ has to be formed. Now, if I begin to pour water in a what do you call it? Please help me with that. The PET bottle. So just imagine. I wish this would be very good to. I would have used a football deflected. You know how a football is when it's deflected and it's just like that. Now, it's still a football, isn't it? But as soon as I bring air and I begin to inflate it, what I am feeding into it, it will now take the shape of that thing. The real shape of that football will now form, is that not? But what gave it its form? The air, until Christ gives you your form. That's what Paul is saying. That I will continue to invest in you until what I have put inside of you had formed what you are supposed to be. And the image I will see when I have done the inflation is I will see Christ formed in you. Self will die. Flesh will die. Personal ambitions will go. Then Christ will be exalted. Because there are many things we would have loved to do with our lives. But when you come into Christ, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Paul said, I am traveling for you in birth pangs. I am praying again and again until Christ be formed in you. I wish I were with you right now so I could change my tone. But at this distance, I don't know how else to help you. In other words, if I were with you, I probably would have spoken in a very small manner. But I'm talking so hard now because I'm not there. You know, there was a time they said that Paul's letters are always stronger than his presence. The reason is because when Paul comes physically, he talks in a very calm tone because he can see them. But whenever he's not there, he sounds like a lion that perceives that a hyena is coming towards the sheep. And he'll be attacking fast because that's the best way to communicate with them from that distance. So Paul is speaking here and saying that I'm not there with you, but because of the distance, he called them foolish Galatians. Because of this, I say, who has bewitched you? Because of this, and he explained the infirmity of his flesh and everything. Are we here together, church? Good. Good. So let's move. We have to finish. Why is this thing so long? Tell me, you who want to live under the law, do you know what the law actually says? He's talking to the Gentiles. You say, those of you that want to live under the law, these guys, you have not been in this thing. We have been there. I know what it means. You know what Paul was trying to say? If I show you guys the law, you run away. The law didn't help us. That's why we cannot keep the law. In the law, if two people are caught, they can stone one to death and leave the other. He said, I don't know what you want. So he started explaining to them, do you guys really know the content of the law that you're trying to keep? Now, the same thing is to the Jews, the person who is in Christ now, and they are calling you to the gods of your father's house. Do you know the covenant your father signed with those things? Do you know the things that they did there? Don't go back. Some of them signed some very terrible things. You just be having boil on your armpit every day. They had entered. Our fathers had entered terrible covenants. And we don't want to go back to revive those things. You don't want to go back there. And those gods are very terrible. There are certain things you do, they strike the person once. And God has brought grace and saying, I will not act in that manner. I love you. I care about you. But the devil and the agents of the devil are trying to drag people back to that source. You will never go back in the name of Jesus. The scripture says that Abraham had two sons, one from his slave wife and one from his freeborn wife. Paul is trying to do an explanation here, an illustration. I might not finish it today. I'll just, let me not overrush myself so that I can do only this chapter. Are we good? It's a Bible study. I feel like if I'm rushing, you will not get what I'm supposed to share. So let me just know that I will do this chapter 4 and next time we'll look at chapter 5. Chapter 5 is very loaded. I really would have loved to, but I can't enter there today. Now let's get this now. It says, the son of the slave wife was born in a human attempt to bring about the fulfillment of God's prophecy. In other words, human being was trying to do something to help the situation. He said, but the son of the free wife was born as a fulfillment of the promise that God had given. So it's possible that God has given a promise that something will happen. But because it is not yet happening as fast as, then we want to go the Sarah way. And the Sarah way is to offer Hagar to Abraham to give her the result of God, and God will reject it. Do you get what I'm saying now? Sarah said, Abraham, you know what? God has promised to give us a child. We have not seen the child yet. We know that God will give a child though, but for now, more use one whole body. See Hagar. Sleep with her. Is it not a boy we need? You give us a boy now. So Abraham said, I don't know what you're saying. Man shall be man. The other time, Abraham had issue with Sarah. he went back to God and prayed and said, God, Sarah, but this one, I have not seen where he went back to God. I don't know why. I can't explain, but I just know that somehow she offered and he was like, babe, Alpha. He said, just do what you go do. Just, I want child. Is your see, yes. Ah, God don't promise us, but if you say so, no Allah. Guess what? Listen, we might be joking about this thing, but this is one of the biggest problems of our faith. Biggest problem today. Because this is just like, how do I explain it? It's like taking your most important seed and planting it on a soil that you cannot predict, or planting on a property you cannot predict will remain your own. And when that seed has been planted in that property, you know you can't cut off the tree. Another person will have it, but you will manage the situation. And what will come out of that tree is your beautiful fruits. But you have no option to allow it. So as soon as Haggai carried the seed, she was running away. And the angel said, go back. You are carrying a seed from a man who has a covenant from the throne room of heaven. And any seed that man has, it goes strong, small. Go back. So she went back. Ishmael was born. And the same way Isaac was born, and Isaac will have 12 nations come out of him, Ishmael will have 12 nations come out of him. Isaac will be a very strong man. The promised covenant child will come from him. But you see this guy, he will be a major rival to that promised covenant child. Because he is not an ordinary seed. He's the seed of Abraham, although corrupted. Are you getting what I'm saying now? It's a corrupt seed, but there's nothing we can do about it. You will live with your mistake. That's what just happened. Exactly what happened. So you will live with your mistake. You will live with your mistake. And as I speak, many people are living with their mistakes. There are certain decisions we make in life that you have to live with all the days of your life. And we have to be careful. That's why you must not be led by the flesh. You must not allow your senses rule. You must not go ahead of God. There are certain people that started something God has said they should not start. God had planned in his real calendar that they will live for up to 90 years or 100 years. But due to the stress that thing put on them, by the time they were 55, they were gone already. And it's not the will of God. Sometimes that thing will be permitted because your flesh has desired it. But God is saying, my hands are not there. Say, but when God saw it, why did God not just come in and say, Sarah, show your opinion. You want to deceive Abraham? No. People must make their choices. Are we here together? Yes. The son of the slave wife was born in a human attempt to bring about the fulfillment of God's promise. But the son of the freeborn wife was born as God's own fulfillment of his promise. Let's go ahead now. He says, these two women serve as an illustration of God's two covenants. Now, he likened Haggai to Old Testament and brought, Sarah's seed toward the New Testament. He said, Haggai represents Mount Sinai, where people received the law that enslaved them. Remember Hebrews chapter, is it Hebrews 6? Let's look at it together. Hebrews 6, that will show us something. We have come to Mount Zion. Hebrews 6, is it Hebrews 6 or 12? You have come to Mount Zion. Oh, Holy Spirit, help us. Hebrews 12. Let's read Hebrews 12 from verse 18. Go to verse 18. Let me see. Hebrews 12 from verse 18. You know, Paul is very good from verse 18. Now, look at this. He said, you have not come to the mountain that may be touched, but go back a step, 17, let me see. Oh, okay, 18 now, 18. 18, please. Why is he dragging? You have not come to a physical mountain, a place of flaming fire, darkness and gloom, whirlwind, as the Israelite did at Mount. And this mountain is compared to who? Haggai. Is that not? You have not, look at in Hebrew, saying you have not come to that mountain. He's trying to let them know, the Galatian church, that this is not the mountain where we are. He's reinforcing it here in the book of Hebrews. Then continue now. He says, for they heard an awesome trumpet blast and a voice so terrible that they begged God to stop speaking the law. Are you seeing it now? He said, why is he dragging? I don't like the fact he's dragging. They staggered back under God's commandment. Even if an animal touched the mountain, it must be stoned to death. Laws upon laws. Laws upon laws. Moses himself was so frightened at the sight that he said, I am terrified and trembling. No. He said, you have come to where? Mount Zion. This is Christ. Leave that mountain. We have come to what? Mount Zion. He said, to the city of what? The living God. To the heavenly Jerusalem. And to countless thousands of angels in a joyful gathering. So where we are now is the heavenly Jerusalem. But there is an earthly Jerusalem. Is that not? He said, this is where we have come. To the spirit of just men made perfect. To the church of the firstborn. Everything, if you read down there, you begin to see everything that I explained. We have come to the assembly of God's firstborn children, whose names are written where? In heaven. Not by law, but by faith. You have come to God himself, who is the judge over all, and have come to the spirit of righteous ones in heaven, who have now been made perfect. You have come to Jesus. Can you see it now? You have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant. Can you see where we are now? You have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people, and the sprinkled blood which speaks forgiveness instead of crying out vengeance like the blood of who? Abel. Now, I'm bringing you to Hebrews so that you can see Paul's explanation to them in the book of Galatians. So go back to Galatians and see it now. You will get a perfect flow from there. Very perfect flow now. Look at it. Where we are, the verse where we stopped in Galatians. Can you get us there? I will make this fast. The scripture says that Abraham, look, we've read this one, the next verse, 24, go to 24, from 24. These two women serve as illustration of God's two covenants. The first one, Hagar, representing Mount Sinai, where people received the law and enslaved them. And now Jerusalem, now look at this. And now Jerusalem is just like Mount Sinai in Arabia, because she and her children live in slavery to the law. Jerusalem is like Mount Sinai in where? Arabia, physical Jerusalem. Now go ahead. It says, but the other woman, Sarah, represents heavenly Jerusalem. The same thing in the book of Hebrew. Can you see it now? So we are of the heavenly Jerusalem. We are not of the physical Jerusalem. There is a physical Jerusalem right there, but that's not what we belong to. We belong to which one now? The heavenly Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the city of peace. Salem is peace. And that's where we belong to. It says, she is the free woman and she's our mother. Glory to God. As Isaiah said, rejoice, O childless woman. You have never given birth. Break into joyful shouts, you who have never been in labor. For the desolate woman now has more children than the woman who lives with her husband. And you, dear brothers and sisters, are children of promise, of the promise, just like who? Isaac. But you are now being persecuted by those who want to keep you under the law, just as Ishmael, the child born by human effort, persecuted Isaac, the child born by the power of promise. The same way, the Ishmael born by human effort persecutes the child that is born by what? Promise. It's a major persecution. It's a hard one, because Abraham has to now live with the consequences of his what? Actions. But what do you say? Scriptures, what do the scriptures say about that? Get rid of the slave and her son. For the son of the slave woman will not share the inheritance with the free woman's son. So dear brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman. Can you say we are not children of the slave woman? We are not children of the slave woman. We are not children of the slave woman. Listen, somebody might have introduced you to any other thing, but you will come out of that physical Jerusalem and enter the heavenly Jerusalem. This is where Christ is, and Christ is the center of everything. It doesn't matter your background, your wherever you are from, any religion of the world. As soon as you accept Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, you are now in the heavenly Jerusalem. Can you see it now? Yes. We are children of the free woman. Glory to God. Is that all? Is that all? Is that the last verse? We are children of what? The free woman. Then in verse 5, he opens with a declaration. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and do not be entangled by any yoke of bondage. Stand fast in that liberty. Are we here together? Can you say, I'm standing fast in that liberty? Christ has made me free. I am not entangled by any yoke of bondage. I stand in the liberty of Christ. In Christ, I am free. I am a free man. I am not held bound by the elements of this world. I am not held bound by the gods of my father's house. I am not held bound by the curses of life. I am not held bound by anything in life. I am free in Christ. I am free in Christ. In the name of Jesus, I enjoy liberty. Liberty to do the will of God. Liberty to follow Him. Liberty to serve Him. In the name of Jesus, nothing holds me bound. Nothing holds me down. Christ is my support. Christ is my pillar. Christ is my life. Nothing in the world can entice me. I have found Christ. I have found hope. I have found Christ. I have found support. I have found Christ. I have found life. I have found Christ. I have found healing. I have found Christ. I have found deliverance. I have found Christ. I have seen light. I have found Christ. I am established. I have found Christ. Christ is my all in all. In Christ alone, my hope is. He is my strength, my song. This on a stone, the solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What height of love! What that of peace when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all.
In the far promised
in Christ the Lord, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he gave to save, till on the cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on Him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground His body lay. Light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day. Up from the grave He rose again, and as He stands in victory, sin's curse has lost. You must speak to everything and say, you can't hold me bound. You can't hold me bound. I am free in Christ. I am free in Christ. I am free in Christ. I am no. Rabba neke de lebo shai ba. Raka de lebo shana la. Leko seke de shai.
No guilt in life. No fear in death. This is the power of Christ. In me, prescribe.
Let me hear you say this language.
Jesus commands my destiny.
The power of Him. No scheme of man. No strategy of man. Shabanega de la baba baba baba. Eka subrega de la boshana baba baba baba. No guilt in life.
No guilt in life. No fear in death.
This is the power of Christ in me. From life first cry.
Life first cry.
Till final breath.
Yeah, Jesus commands my death.
Sin in no power of hell.
No scheme of man
can ever blot
me from his hand.
Till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand.
Alemanakaba yabaraba denemashakaba. Oh, I'm free in Christ Jesus. I'm established in Christ Jesus. No scheme of man. Nothing on the internet by men who are trying to grow their pages can distract me. Never. I have understanding of the word of God. I sit to listen to the word of God. I am properly taught. I can never ever be distracted. My faith is built on him. I am rooted in Christ. I'm not focusing on any other thing. No way. I am rooted and grounded in Christ. I am established in him. My healing is in Christ. My liberty is in Christ. Somebody who believes what I'm saying tonight, you can receive strength for your body. You can receive life. Somebody who believes what I'm saying tonight, you can overcome all the doubts and the arguments and the fears of hell. And all the things that they are saying from your foundation. We have to go back and do this. We have to travel to do this. We have to do that. No! In Christ alone, I have everything. He's my hope. He's my life. He's my strength. He's my shield. He's my defense. I am established in him. I am rooted in him. The name of Jesus is above every other name. That at the mention of the name Jesus, every knee must bow. Melekoshai barabadana manekabale barusko. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Listen to me, child of God. We are approaching the end times and many things will be happening. The Bible says in the last days, knowledge will increase. Men will run to and fro. Can I tell you the truth? Those of you here and those of us who are consistently listening, you know that I don't just put it online for any reason. I am focused every time it is midweek service. Listen, I can say confidently, blessed are you. The deception will be very high in this end time. It will be very high. Many more things are coming. Some people are just preparing their arsenals from the pit of hell to launch out. But God is sending many of us back to the archives to also bring the hidden truth of the gospel so that we can project it to the hearts of men. Are you getting what I'm saying here? So because you have to stand your ground, there will be times where they will say, do this or do that. They will say, look at this. Jesus Christ said in the last day, they will come to you and they say, here he is. Look at where he is. He said, do not be moved. He's not anywhere there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He's not anywhere there. I find him in the word. I find him in the place of prayer. I stay with him in the place of fellowship and communion. I can never be distracted. The Bible says in the end time, many, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. Let me tell you the truth. Every time you see the devil trying to rope you into one thing or the other, he knows what he's trying to achieve. Because if iniquity abounds, love will wax cold. But look at what he says in the next verse. He that endures to the end. He that endures to the end. In other words, there is a condition. He that endures toward the end. He said, the same shall be saved. So I want you to stand your ground. I want you to be rooted and grounded. I want you to always tell yourself, I know what I am learning. Paul spoke one time. He said, the things that you have learned from me. Every time I stand here to teach, I understand clearly what I am teaching. And I know if you hold this truth and go back and you search the scriptures, like the Berean Christians, you will be noble. You can find your healing as I speak right now. If you understand what I'm saying by faith in his name, in his blood, you are healed already. Whether you are online or on site, in the name of Jesus, every doubt from the pit of hell is cleared off right now. You are finding light and direction in Christ. In the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Lift up your voice and begin to bless the name of the Lord tonight. Give him thanks. Give him thanks. Just give him thanks tonight. Say, thank you, Jesus. Oh, what a glorious life. Willingness to stay at the feet of Jesus and learn. Kai. This is something that is missing. A lot of people are just distracted. you make up your mind, I will learn at the feet of Jesus. I will grow. I'll be rooted and grounded. I'll be established. I will not be distracted. My inheritance is in Christ. My better life is in Christ. My beautiful marriage is in Christ. My wonderful children in Christ. My glorious inheritance is in Christ. Hey, a joyous and a beautiful strengthened life is in Christ. Christ is my all in all. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're in church tonight. You say, Pastor Mavis, I want to accept Jesus into my heart as my Lord and Savior. It will not make sense for me to preach all this and not give you an opportunity to come to know Him as your Lord and Savior. Just as Paul tried to pull them out of the gods that they were serving and also told the Jewish Christians to come out of the law. So I am bringing somebody out of the things that you have known before, and I want to establish you in Christ tonight. Do you want to make that decision for Jesus to be your Lord and your personal Savior? Because He died on the cross of Calvary for you. He was raised back to life for your justification. He's your Father. He's your Lord. He's your help. He's your strength. You want to make that commitment to Jesus today? Can you raise your hand wherever you are? I'm going to pray with you. If you are online, I want you to indicate with an emoji or somehow just let me know that I'm praying for somebody who is accepting Christ into their heart as their Lord and personal Savior. Please do it with all joy and gladness. It's the best decision. It's a decision that should be done with all boldness and joy and excitement. Can you raise your hand? I'm going to pray with you right now. Say these words after me wherever you are. Lord Jesus, today I come to you just the way I am. I believe in my heart that you died for me. I believe today, Lord, that you are my all in all. You paid the price on the cross of Calvary for my justification. And I receive you into my heart by faith. I declare I am born again. I am saved. I am sanctified. In Jesus' glorious, precious, and mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Glory to God. Have you been blessed today, church? Are you sure you are blessed today? Can you say to yourself, I am blessed? Oh, can you say to yourself, I am blessed? I have freedom in Christ. I have liberty in Christ. Glory to God. Please sit up in heavenly places. I'm going to pray as we receive the offerings right now. While the basket is going around, I'll just take one or two questions and we'll be good. Are we here together? Are we here together? Good. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for tonight. You have blessed us with the communion of the word, and we have received it gladly. Lord, I ask that you will have honor on our sacrifice in the name of Jesus. Every hand that gives, everyone that has brought forth their offerings before you, Lord, I pray that you will cause them to experience a great harvest. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Glory to God. So the microphone will go around. If you have a question right now, you might want to ask a question. Okay, please, microphone. Usher, yes, thank you.
Good evening, sir. Thank you so much, sir, for what we learned, sir. Okay, concerning what we talked about on the last class, prayerfully, three, about honoring our parents. So there is somebody that I kind of know and I do not know. I just know around my area and all of that. We are talking about honoring our parents. So, in a situation whereby a person's parents is diabolical, like, you know, they're into all this traditional thing, how do you still balance, how will you tell the person to, like, still balance honoring their parents and, you know, keeping the boundaries?
Okay, general principle of honor for your parents is in recognition of the fact that they gave birth to you. They gave you access to life, and it is very important that you honor your parents. But not at the detriment of your faith, or as against going, to the extent that it goes against scripture. For instance, in law, we have different laws, but any law that comes from any source that is inconsistent with the constitution as it is. For instance, Nigeria, we have the 1999 constitution as amended. Is that? Okay. So that constitution is the grand norm. That means it is the fundamental law that everybody, am I right? Feintola, where are you people? Okay. Help me so that I can't remember the last time I played with all those things. So that is the foundational law. If any law is made from any other source that is inconsistent with that law, that means that does not agree with what the constitution says, we will render this other law null and void. That means we say this law cannot stand. Why? Because it is inconsistent with the fundamentals. So the fundamentals of our faith now is Christ Jesus. Anything that somebody's parents is trying to force them, maybe they're trying to drag you back to one worship, trying to drag you back to one thing, it is inconsistent with your faith. To the extent of your faith, you disagree. But to the fact that your parents need money, resources, help, support, you have to help them. Do you understand what I'm trying to say now? Now, if they are asking you to help them with your resources to do diabolic things, you disagree. Can you see where the disagreement comes? Are you getting what I'm saying now? If they don't tell you, you don't know. Whatever you don't know is not law to you. Do you understand what I'm saying now? That's where knowledge comes in. Somebody said, we are going to do this thing, we went to see so prophet. They say we should go and bring this thing, we are going to kill two goats and kill two tortoises and kill two rabbits. Go and look for money and kill tortoises and rabbits and goats. What I give is money that is upkeep or support that I'm supposed to help with. If you are in the hospital, let me know. I'll pay hospital bill. That's what I understand. Do you understand? But to go and start paying for goat and ram, who knows whether they told them to bring the one that will represent you? So, you now put one, and now be calling your name, although your name will never answer there anyway. Because sometimes people want to do things in your place. So we honor our parents by not talking back at them. We honor our parents by ensuring that we do not react violently when they speak to us. Respect is very, very important. Do you understand what I'm saying now? We honor our parents, you know, by blessing them with our substance. We honor our parents by, you know, there are different other ways we can honor our parents, as long as it does not go against our faith. Because Jesus Christ himself said it, if any man will follow me, if you know you will really follow me, you will have to leave your brothers. That means if your brother is doing something that is against Christ, walk away. If it's your sister, walk away. If it's your mother, walk away. If it's your father, walk away. Why? Because you will take up your cross daily and follow me. Do we understand what I'm saying right now? Yes. So, but as long as it is not anything that is inconsistent with your faith, you have to give support and all that to our parents. So that's it.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Also, thank you for this opportunity. The question I want to ask is there any difference between deliverance and family pattern? You hear they say Christian go for deliverance. Is there any difference between the both? Deliverance and family pattern.
Okay. Deliverance and family pattern. Usually deliverance is in Christ. Deliverance simply means salvation from something. So when you are healed, you have been delivered from sickness. When you escape an accident, you have been delivered from accident. When a demon is expelled from a person, the person has been delivered from whatever that demon spirit is. So those people who are saying that they don't even believe in deliverance at all, it's not completely true. It's not. On Friday night here, part of what we'll be doing is deliverance. That's the moment where we address demons, we address spirits, we address spirit of sicknesses, diseases, infirmity. It's not going to be an exact teaching meeting like this. There are different meetings for different purposes. There are healing meetings. There are meetings meant to address devils. There are meetings designed to put a halt to satanic harassments. Are you getting what I'm saying right now? So you find yourself in a position where something is coming at you and you are praying and you are rebuking and you're casting and you're dealing with that thing. That, if you are free from that thing, it means deliverance. Then family patterns. These are sponsored by altars. Now, one of the signs you get to know an altar exists is pattern. Patterns are proofs that an altar exists. What are altars? I showed us in 20 Days of Glory. Yes, it's a platform of interaction between spirits where covenants have been enacted, where somebody has said something or somebody has done something. Do we get what I'm saying now? For instance, when we close now, somebody can come to this physical altar to pray. But we don't only have a physical altar here. There is a spiritual altar. Because transactions go on here from time to time. Anywhere spiritual transactions go on, you understand? The spirit behind that transaction tabernacles in that place. So that's why whether you are here or not, the presence of God is here. Somebody comes here and pray for answered prayer. We get prayers. If you have faith, you get what I'm saying now? It doesn't mean that there is a special thing that was done here. No. Even if it is your room and you consistently pray by a particular time in a particular place, you have created an altar. It doesn't mean you are, I don't know if you understand what I'm saying now. In fact, you can even create an altar without location. So I choose 12 o'clock to pray every day. Anytime you raise yourself, your voice 12 o'clock, an incense will be raised from heaven. Get what I'm saying now? It will be showing that somebody's signal will be picked. Signal, because God likes commitment and fellowship. So God will come in the cool of the day to stay with Adam and Eve. What were they going to do? Fellowship. So anytime you raise a voice of fellowship and it is consistent, God will continue to come. As soon as they left the garden, it was no longer consistent. God was no longer coming. Do you understand? So when you come to family instances, like I said, our fathers and the rest of them, they've done some funny things. All African roots is idolatrous. I don't know about other countries, but I know about this one. Because I'm sure of the fact that everywhere in African roots is idol worship. But some people have left different things for many ages. Some are just about to leave those things. Now, this is how patterns start. The fathers covenant with a particular altar, maybe when they have enemies trying to fight them and they cannot stand those enemies during those days. Or people were coming to hijack their lands from them, take their properties from them, and they could not stand those people. They will go to spirits and agree with those spirits. Now, during the course of our fight, if you supernaturally enable us to win over these enemies, these demons, we and our children will serve you. Then they will enter an agreement. The spirit can say, in every generation, this is what you'll be doing for me. This is what you'll be doing for me, and this is what I will do for you. When they enter all these agreements and all that, they start a covenant. So long as they service that altar, is working for them. Then one day, somebody shows up and say, we are not doing it again. Whatever the curse that is supposed to come upon that generation for breaking that rule, it will come on those people because they had an agreement. Then you are a Christian now. Before you got born again, that would have happened. They say people die, if you break it, all your children will be dying at 50 something. And people start dying in that family. They'll be wondering. But some uncles know. Some people there know. And this is what we did. So some of them will go behind and go and service that thing again. Oh, that me, I don't want to die. Oh, they will leave them alive because they have a covenant. But you know that that person that seemed like he has been left alive is now serving the devil. He's serving a deity. Are you getting what I'm saying? But you are a Christian now. And that's why whatever you are serving, you serve well. You have come into Christ. You cannot do it carelessly and say, No. Those forces and demon forces will begin to find expression. But when you have come into Christ, you are rooted and grounded. You will now tell yourself, I have no business with those things again. So Christ will set you free from all those things. But your full freedom and liberty is in Christ, be formed in you. Because you can be born again and you are still servicing some misbehaviors and you are giving Satan an opportunity to penetrate. But when you start serving God, if there's a mistake, Lord, I'm sorry, God on the God, nothing happens because that's, you are genuine about it. But when you now make a habit, a lifestyle of something, whatever those patterns are, they begin to find funny expressions in the life of that person again. So family patterns are real. Sometimes alcoholic parents give birth to alcoholic children. Sometimes some of them are even things that are transferred, demonically transferred. You understand? Just as you have genetically transferred things. This is life now. Genetically transferred. Parents who have a particular thing in their gene transfers it to their children. That is biological transfer through genes. Is that not? Now, spiritual transfer also happens because man is a spirit. So whatever it is that has been backed in that foundation can be transferred. So when we come into Christ, we lose our old heritage and take on a new one. And because we have taken on a new one, those demons are angry. But we don't have business with them again. And the way you stand is by telling them that you know what Christ has done for you. I am no longer in that lineage. I don't service that altar again. I am now on Mount Zion, the city of the living God. This is where I live. The blood of Jesus that speaks better things than the blood of Abel speaks for me. I am a new creation. So you'll be speaking that thing and you realize that as you begin to walk in the path of Jesus, those things have no hold over you again. That's why a believer should not be held by patterns, negative patterns of their family. Imagine they were alcoholics and it is destined that the children of alcoholics will become alcoholics and you discover that you have temptation to that thing. But because you have come out and you are now in Christ and you say, I'm not going back there. As soon as you focus on Christ, you will not become an alcoholic. But if you leave Christ and you begin to transact, because Satan will come and test you, the same gods that fought your fathers will come and confront you. It's normal. Wait. Is it not the same devil that faced Adam and Eve that came to face Jesus in the garden? Garden of Gethsemane. Garden of Eden. Abi? What other pattern is greater than that one? The first Adam and the last Adam. And he came with the same temptation. The same way he went, Eve said, if you know, if you eat this, you will be like God. And we know that they were created in the image of God. He now said, if you know you are the son of God, turn stone to bread. And Jesus Christ said, how can I be arguing if I am the son of God? So you didn't see Jesus Christ tell him, let me tell you, I want to prove to you now that I'm the son of God. You know why? That would have been a misplaced priority. Because Jesus Christ didn't need to prove to Satan that he's the son of God. The same way Eve would not have been trying to prove to Satan that she's like God. She would have said, get behind me, Satan. We are the gods of the face of planet Earth. And that would have been the answer. But as soon as she missed it, man fell. Then it happened to Jesus Christ. And instead of Jesus Christ, when he said that, what did he tell Jesus Christ again? I will give you the glory of the whole world. Jesus Christ now told him, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I know Satan would have said, which kind of person is this one? But the last Adam is a quickening spirit. The first Adam was made a living spirit. Do you understand that? I don't think everybody got that. But that's fine. Praise God. Did I answer your question well? Thank you very much. God bless you.
Praise God,
we have to rise. We have to close now. I didn't know there's another question. We have to close now.
Praise God, church.
Okay, I'll just take you and I'll close. Please, let's take it soon.
I'm so glad because I've been wanting to ask this question.
Be audible.
I've been wanting to ask this question for a long time. Sir, how can I go through this mess? I'm from a Christian home. My dad is a Muslim, though.
Be audible. I want to hear you.
I'm from a Christian. My mom is a Christian. She's okay. A pastor. My dad is also a Muslim. So it's been complicated. Issues that are fighting in my family, like you must do this, I must do that. But my mom actually used to like, I must go to church. So I followed her to church, and she's also a minister. So she actually used to tell me that I will do some things and to follow her to church. I said, okay, I will do it. Then there was a day she said, I must use this soap. I said, mom, I cannot use this soap. This soap, you know me, I'm not that kind of person.
What kind of soap is that? Is it Tura?
All this, it's not
what kind of soap?
Selel soap.
Okay. Okay.
So she used to bring it to him like for protection and all. I'll be like, mommy, I don't like all these things. She's like, you, if you don't like it, then this, I will not give it to you. Then I'll have to fight, pray. Then there was a day in these 20 days of glory that the pastor was ministering that we should come out to give our life to Christ.
Yeah.
And I went out. So that day I was going home, I was singing. I will never be the same after your grace. My life down. So
yeah.
I went home that night. So I was praying. Suddenly I started speaking in tongues. So that night I could not control myself again. So I started praying. I prayed from 12:04. So she came outside. She came outside from her room. Then she said, "Me, I'm disturbing the whole compound." I said, "Mommy, but you said we have to be prayerful." She said, "No, you are disturbing the whole compound. The students in our compound will be shouting." I said, "No, mommy, please. I started begging her. So she went to her room. Then I continued praying again. She now came out and said, "If these vigilante people come and knock..."
If what?
If vigilante people, like the people that are securing the community, come and knock our gate, that she will just take me out and tell them that I'm the one disturbing.
Okay.
So, of recent, she now said that. So she took me outside in the church. She said that she's not going to give me any duty in the church post that is in our church to do again. And I said, "Mommy, why?" She said, "I started speaking one useless language. I started speaking in tongue." She even used me as a topic in the church. So, sir, I want to ask, what will I do in this kind of situation?
Now, you see, when we were children, we were held by the elemental principles of this life. That's what I was teaching. Now that you have come of age, why you can say this now is because you have come of age. So obviously, it is time for you to detach yourself and go and build capacity well. Then when you have built your capacity, you might now be able to come and address the issues in the house. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Yes, you might be able to address the issues in the house. Because if you have not built capacity and you come and address the issues, she will still continue to disturb you and attack you. And one of the things is that you cannot build on that foundation, because everything I'm teaching now, that is not Christ. That is Christ plus Oshedudu. You know, so, and you don't want to do that. Now, some of us know, there are some of us who are like that. And one of our guys here, our pastors here too, whenever he comes from school then, Pastor Unique, his dad will give him things, you know, that he should either bait with or something too, because it was an alpha. I guess he's going to be listed. Okay, no, they are preaching in Ekbe too. So, because it happens to be an alpha, they will give him stuff. Then one day he came for my meeting where I was teaching many years ago on campus, and it was just a career meeting. And after that day, he had made up his mind, I'll get more serious with God. So the next time they gave him this, he said they will not use it. Not only him, there's another person in church too like that, that they give. Father is into some kind of things, you know, just for protection. There was somebody that testified too that there's something inside the bottle they gave him to drink. I don't know who. But I know that a lot of parents do a lot of things. They claim that they want to protect you. You know why? It's because you are looking like you don't have protection. Now that they are seeing the kind of fire that is burning in you, they will not call you for those kind of things again. In fact, what is good for you now, we say, do your own. Let me do my own. Because it is obvious that this thing you are doing is frightening something else. And you need to stand your ground and let the fire keep burning. You know why? Now that you have decided to become like this, they will also haul some kind of, there will be some kind of force trying to come your direction to stop you from doing that, because you are rising as the beginning of a new order. That's what you're doing now. So you must stand your ground and keep building your capacity in prayer, hearing the word of God like this. One day you will sit your mom down and teach her the Bible. You will sit her down. Something will happen one day to be so massive. She will be there and she will tell you, lay your hands on me and pray for me. Mark my words. Mark my words. Something will happen. God will cause that spirit to, what you pray, that hours you prayed is not you. It's not easy for somebody like that to pray for 4 hours just for yourself at that new beginning. It is the strength of the spirit that carried you. You will notice that a season you might be doing like that. Then another season, as if it's now difficult to even do 2 hours. It's the devil trying to. But you continue. You continue building capacity. The more you build like that, the stronger you become. A day of test will come. When that day of test comes, don't draw back. If she's in a condition where she needs help, go there and lay hands on her and speak life. When you have done it, you have exercised your spiritual authority. The next time, they'll be calling you and say, ah, that's the pastor of the household. That's the pastor. And it's possible that there is a spiritual mantle on your family. Most idolatrous foundations, those people are supposed to be spiritual in the right direction. Satan takes advantage of that. But somebody will eventually rise like Gideon and come up strong. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So you will stand up and you will shut that altar and erect the altar based on the blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of these life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center and visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.